Okay. I heard you all the way across the room.
Yeah, okay, here we go, folks.
Well, you're not ready. We're not ready.
Well, I am.
B-A-T-F-I-R-S C-I-A-N-F B-I F-D-A-N-F-C-C A-D-L-N-K-G-B Now I know my ABCs, all of which spell tyranny.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Today is April 1st, April Fool's Day, and we're not fooling. We're really here. How are you doing today, Pastor Steve?
I'm doing all right. Paul English is going crazy that we're too early.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I forgot.
Oh, got to wait for 3 minutes. Sorry, Paul.
Okay. Should I?
No.
It's too late. It's too late. We already goofed up. I already goofed up.
Oh,
well, that's because I'm on the road. I'm in central Arkansas. And the frog hairs got me. So,
oh no!
Okay, sorry, Paul. My fault. I have to. You know, when you're camping out and it's been
every
raining
every time. Paul was he's gonna come hunting with a club.
Right. Well, I'm not gonna be here, so you're gonna have to find me. All right, folks.
You be out in the woods. I want to read something.
Okay.
Before we get into this, I gotta take those glasses off. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14. I want you, brothers and sisters out there, to listen to this. We seem to be having a problem with people that are teaching doctrine that's their opinion. Okay? I hear more and more and more of this. Verse 14. Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Now, people that'll slam the Jews, but yet they're not Yahweh believers. Okay? That's that. This may make some people upset, and I just don't care. This is Scripture. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? And what agreement has Messiah with Belial? If you don't know what Belial is, it means worthlessness.
Okay.
Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? No matter what they espouse, if they're an unbeliever, we don't have any part with them. And what union has the dwelling place of Elohim with idols? For you are a dwelling place of the living Elohim, as Elohim has said, I shall dwell in them and walk among them, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says Yahweh. And
amen.
Do not touch what is unclean, including people. And I shall receive you, and I shall be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says Yahweh the Almighty. Now, if that doesn't suit you, folks, tough toenails. Okay,
yeah.
I am sick and tired of the so-called Christian identity people having fellowship with unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
You all need pick to up their habits. Yourselves up out there. You either are with Yahweh or you are not, and I don't mess with people like that. If they're not talking about Yahweh and they're talking about secular humanism or whatever they're doing, you need to disassociate with them.
Or even white nationalism.
If that makes you angry, that's too darn bad.
Well, we're not supposed to socialize with them. However,
No, I'm not talking about going to work with them. Right. I'm talking about having them on the doggone radio station.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to unload.
Okay.
Because I'm angry, and I'm sick and tired of hearing people that are not Christian identity on this radio station.
Okay. Well, we'll have to deal with that.
When you invited me on here, Eli, years ago, when I was in prison, I was told this was a Christian identity station, and if it is not, then why not?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's.
That's all I gotta say. Shut up then.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, the other side of that is we try to reach out to people and bring them into identity. So, but
don't bring them into identity, but you don't have people on.
Oh, yeah,
the
teaching
shows
that are teaching false
that are
false
teaching false doctrine.
Right.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I've been really busy lately. So I don't know what. I know there's certain people who don't agree with us. You know, they're like the health reporters, and when they make statements about the Bible, they are totally off.
It's more than one.
Okay. Yeah. 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 So well, as we're trying to reload Christian identity material, and also provide information, health information, and things like that. But then these people spout off about the Bible and they don't know what they're talking about. So, we'll keep on working on that to try to.
I've been listening.
Yeah, okay.
And I've been hearing some stuff that really upsets me. And okay. I'm sorry if I'm a little bit angry.
Okay, well.
But I'm eating up with zeal for His house.
Amen.
And when I hear people that are teaching things that are contrary to Scripture, I'm not going to go for it.
Yeah. Very
right.
good. Very good.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, it's a struggle to have CI programming on 24 hours a day. We're making that effort constantly. So, when I get back home to Chicago, I'll sit by and see what these health and even Roger Sale, he has guests that proclaim Christianity, even proclaim Christian identity. But then they make some half-cocked statements that, make your eyes roll, right? So we have to be careful. And, I think Roger Sale.
Yeah, well, when I tuned into EFR and I heard Jim Wickstrom talking with William Fink.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's no good.
On one of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
I told you.
Two infiltrators, yeah.
I told you on Skype, and I just went through the roof.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These people are enemies.
Absolutely.
They have slammed Eli and slammed EFR and just... Fostered sock puppets.
Yeah, like Visser. Right. And many others, yeah.
Yes, sir. I mean, come on, people.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
enough is enough.
Yeah, we try to make people aware of these things, and they don't realize that a Visser
and have cooperation from our own people. We can't have our own people bringing this horse pucky on the air.
Right. Yeah.
Come on, people.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Get with
yeah.
program.
Right, well, I'll
you
talk with Paul.
Don't bring the enemy into your living room. Yeah. I'm sorry, but you don't do it.
Yeah, I'll talk with Paul. Some people aren't aware how bad Wickstrom and Fink are, right?
Oh.
They're not aware, so.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not going to say anything but good about the dead. And Wickstrom's dead, and that's good. Okay?
Right.
But Fink... Oh, please.
Yeah, he's a total infiltrator. So was Wickstrom. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I'll have a talk with Paul after the show and see if we can get that corrected.
I had to say it on the air to bring it out in the open. And okay. I'm sorry if I'm angry.
No. That's,
but
that's righteous.
I'm angry.
That's righteous anger, bro. Righteous anger. Well, yes.
You don't attack my friends and men of God and get away with it.
Yeah, yeah. Both Wickstrom and Fink have been calling me a Jew for about as long as I know them. Right, because they have their agenda, and Wickstrom is a known collaborator with August Kreiss and many other people.
He's a Fed snitch.
If he was, yes, total Fed snitch, and so is Fink. So is Fink. So anyway, so they can say what they want about us, but it shouldn't be on our radio station. I totally agree, Pastor Steve. Yeah, even though that show you're referring to was a satire.
The chat room just lit up.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I'm good for one thing, I'll light a fire.
Amen.
But I sit here and I do word-for-word radio studies in my sermons, and I stay strictly within two seed line Christian identity, and I'm a firm believer. And then I hear this stuff come on that is totally opposite of what we're supposed to stand for.
Yeah, well, that actually happened to me when I was on Talk Shoe. I went on a Passover trip, and Bill Fink and Clifton Emmaheiser started calling me a Jew on my own show. And I said, okay, I've had enough of these two guys. You know, I've never said anything.
Well, Clifton was never that way until Fink got a hold of him.
Right.
And the early studies by Clifton Emmaheiser are absolutely amazing. They are wonderful. I have all of them in print.
Yeah, and you proofread them.
I was his proofreader before he got hooked with Fink.
Right. Yeah.
And after Fink got a hold of him, it went downhill fast, brother.
Mm-hmm.
It went downhill fast.
Well, Fink started teaching salvation by race only, okay, which makes the sacrifice of Christ unnecessary, right? Okay. So
then we had this whole deal with Mark Downey. Have you ever read any of Mark Downey's stuff?
Yeah, not too much, but...
Noon to noon, Sabbaths.
Right.
I mean, he is just off the deep end.
Right, well...
His teaching were totally in error.
Well, by the way, people might not be aware, but Mark Downey also died.
Yeah, he just passed.
Yeah, so in the last week, both Wickstrom and Mark Downey have gone to the other side. So may Yahweh have mercy on their souls. Right? So, okay... very good. That was a great rant, Pastor Steve. Yeah, we have to address these things.
I'm sorry to vent my anger like that, but I just couldn't help it.
All right, very good.
I read that passage in the scripture, and it lit me up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, man, I got indigestion because I'm just the acid. Whoa.
Have some more coffee
dilute the acid. I've got coffee, and I've got a little bit of milk left. I'm trying to drink it up. I'm trying to empty my fridge before I leave today.
Yeah, well, here, because there's still a lot of disagreement among people about the exact time we're supposed to celebrate the feast days, the Sabbaths, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we cut people a lot of slack, and even
slack.
Yeah, we had a gathering of about 16 people here in Central Arkansas, and some of them are lunar solar Sabbath keepers, and but we tell them ahead of time, we practice a solar Sabbath. No insult to you. We don't want to denigrate your form of worship. Because it's more important, because you have to do a lot of study to come to the solar calendar, all right? So,
yes,
but nevertheless, these lunar solar people came by, and we had a great time. Okay? We exchanged views, and then we did Bible studies. So we can have fellowship with people who aren't intentionally trying to disrupt what we do, and vice versa. Okay, we're trying to come together with a meeting of the minds and study scripture. And the more you study scripture, the more our minds meet, right? So, and then we ended the day, David, from Missouri did a wonderful study about the correspondences between the Old and the New Testament, and he showed that the New Testament doesn't teach anything new. It's all, every cross-reference he showed
it is
us.
It's all a reiteration of
right?
what was taught. And Yahshua himself quoted the Old, quote-unquote, Testament.
Yes, he did, constantly.
The intertestamental books, the Apocrypha, if you would, is a historical reference and a spiritual awakening by people of the Old Testament era and the intermediary period, like we are doing 2nd Esdras. Well, I'm not going to do 2nd Esdras because our study on 2nd Esdras is exemplary. I'm very, very much in favor of that. And if people want to listen about 2nd Esdras, I will refer them to that study.
Right. That's on Yahweh's Covenant People. Yes.
That is right. On Friday nights. But a lot of the other stuff, I have just finished putting in the file of the Book of Judith. Now I'm going to start on the Wisdom of Solomon, and then I'm going to go to Sirach. Okay?
Yeah.
And then after that, I'm going to finish up the intertestamental
right.
Boy, that stuff.
Yeah.
Books. Then I'm going to the New Testament, and when I go to the New Testament, the word study is going to be real deep. It's going to go slow. Because I'm going to hit all the points. I'm going to give you what it says in Greek, and I'm also going to give you what it says in Hebrew. Because it was originally written in the Hebrew.
Okay.
Whether people like that or not, I don't care.
Well, that's not what the mainstream Judeo-Christians teach.
Well, I believe that for a while.
But you and others have convinced me that the originals were written in Hebrew. Yeah, but they've been lost, and, the Greek...
Well, there's fragments, and what do we know about what's been confiscated and hidden?
Right.
The Church of Rome itself has a lot of stuff that it won't let people look at, and the J people have confiscated and destroyed a lot of stuff with their maliciousness.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, and then the other thing that David did was he showed how virtually every instance of the word Gentile, which people falsely assume means non-Jews, because that's the Jewish definition of the word, actually refers to Israelites. So that the covenant relationship between Yahweh and his people Israel never changes, never changes at all. But the Jews have had this trick by redefining the word Gentile, which simply means nation, to mean non-Jew, and
it doesn't mean that. It means not a citizen.
Well, yeah, you're talking about the Latin. I'm talking about ethnos.
Yeah.
Ethnos, the Greek word, and goi, the Hebrew word.
Right.
They simply mean
right.
nation. Okay. So a lot
correct.
Of people don't know that, and they think, well, Gentiles. Well, the Gentiles are the non-Jewish people that we're supposed to proselytize. No, those are Israelites. That was David's point, and so that was well received by the new people.
Well, it should be well received. Mm-hmm. It's very accurate.
That's right. Exactly. Very good.
Very accurate.
Okay, so let's get into the 95 Theses. We stopped at 83, so let's, by deception make war, is the motto of the Mossad.
Right.
And is the motto of the Jewish people. Okay. So I'll take thesis number 84, globalism. Globalism is nothing more than the continuation of Judaism's age-old enterprise of commercial internationalism. It is the Babylonian system of usury and debt money that has been incrementally grafted onto virtually every national economy on this planet, with the exception of a couple of Muslim countries and maybe North Korea. But it's, they still have to use Jew money to do international trade, so they're using it too. It is also the same system that is in place in the United Nations Organization via the World Bank and other international lending institutions. As lenders to most nations and as merchants to all nations, the Jews have always been either above or outside of the mainstream of national economies. Okay? Which enables them to violate national law, and they create the international law, which they violate also. Okay, they don't create.
Well, they don't have a nation. They you can't pin them down anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They've interbred with so many people. They've spread themselves all over the planet, and they are hidden.
Yes, yeah.
like the guy from Toyota Motors, Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Toyota. He's a Japanese Jew.
Right. And there's Chinese Jews. There's Arabian Jews.
Pakistani Jews.
Right. Yeah, there's African Jews. They're everywhere. And but yeah,
they try to deny them because they're nasty too.
Yeah, right.
And they just, they want to kick them out of Israel. They don't want them over there.
There's Ashkenazi Jews and Sephardic Jews, and none of them are Israelites. Absolutely none of them.
Not a one.
Okay. So this is the understanding.
Your Sephardim have ties to Palestine, but only through Edom,
right?
Not through Israel. Their ties to Palestine is from Edom.
Yes, yes, and they have wormed their way into our company, our nations, through the banking business. Okay, because their money lenders come calling to our political leaders. And especially if our political leaders are stupid enough to get themselves into debt, or to get our countries in debt, or they want to have a war and finance the war, then where do they go, Pastor Steve? To whom do they go? Right?
To the white people for money.
Yeah, to the perfidious Jew. That's where they go. Who've been stockpiling gold, silver, and all kinds of money.
Well, they just don't realize that when they go to the Talmudists, the Talmudists will loan money to both sides.
That's right.
Because they know with that investment, they will make war material profits off the winner and be able to go into the country of the loser and gut it.
Yep.
Absolutely gut it and buy up all the property, and then they own it.
Well, why do you think America is bankrupt, right? They bankrupt every nation they infest, okay? And they have fun doing it, and laugh at our expense. That's what these people are like, folks. There's not a good one among them. All right, let's. The United Nations is the product of 150 years of intensive Rothschild agitation, demonic scheming, and relentless pressure. It will be with us until the judgment day, at which time those earthlings that have a modicum of awareness will finally realize that the house of Rothschild is the eighth beast, the empire of merchants, prophesied of in the Apocalypse, chapter 17 and 18. That world empire of merchants. Pastor Steve, how is it possible that none of the Judeo-Christian denominations has anything to say about this eighth beast? They have a Bible, don't they?
Well, they're scared because they might get their finances cut off, and they're more worried about stuff in this world than they are about the world to come.
Amen.
And they don't believe that it's all going to be hay and stubble and burn up.
Right.
But they're still going strong on this. But what are we seeing? We're seeing not just cracks in the foundations, but gaping gaps.
Right. Yeah.
Things are falling apart, whether Trump does this or that or any of this wish list stuff. Oh, this is going to happen by this part of this month, and it's gonna. Let's remember what's been done.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing. We were in apostasy, we as the Israelites. Yahweh had mercy on us and came down in the flesh of a man, Yahshua. Yahweh is salvation. He allowed them to murder him,
mm-hmm.
And then he took up his life again in that body, and it became a glorified body on the third day. And if that big, huge, nasty conditional word, if you follow the rules of the game that Yahweh has set down, you can't just say, I believe, because the devils believe and they tremble. You have to live it. You have to stop living in the world, come out of it, and be separate. And that's hard, and a lot of people won't do it. Doesn't mean you have to quit your job, but in your personal life and your personal belief and your personal methods of worship and your diet and everything else, if you're going, I did a sermon called Being Israel. You say you're Israel, but are you actually being Israel? Are you a peculiar people?
Gotta walk the walk.
Are you a set apart individual? Are you set apart to Yahweh? Is your lifestyle set apart to Yahweh?
Right. Well, yeah. On the other hand,
yes or no? There's no shades of gray. You can't sit on the doggone fence anymore. Wake up.
Well, even our men, it's very hard because this movement, the Christian identity movement, tends and has tended to attract more men. I see more and more women involved. We had a fair number of women. We had about 8 women, out of 15.
Well,
which is...
the women that are getting involved in the Christian identity movement are the godly women.
That's right.
the superficial little fluff tuckets out there.
Right.
I broke a nail.
Yeah. How can I be?
Don't tell me there aren't intelligent women out there. There are.
Yeah.
But they are suppressed.
Of course. Of course.
They are used as weapons against the men. They have been weaponized by these devils.
Yeah. In the colleges. Absolutely. Colleges are nothing but commie programming schools.
Proverbs 31. Okay? Everybody needs to read Proverbs 31. It tells you what a real woman should be.
Okay. Very good. Very good. All right. So let me just jump down to the famous anarchist Mikhail Bakunin, a contemporary and associate of Karl Marx, who put it this way, quote, Marx is a Jew and is surrounded by a crowd of little, more or less intelligent, scheming, agile, speculating Jews, which is kind of like the Jews I've known in my lifetime, just as Jews are everywhere. Commercial and banking agents, writers, politicians, correspondents for newspapers of all shades, that is all shades, crypto-conservatives and crypto-liberals, in short, literary brokers, just as they are financial brokers, with one foot in the bank and the other in the socialist movement.
Yeah.
Okay. You said something about them financing both sides of every war? Well, they finance...
Absolutely, right? Both sides.
They finance communism, too.
One from column A and one from column
right?
B.
Right, yeah. And probably the same guy owns the communist newspaper and the biggest capitalist rag, the Wall Street Journal. I'll bet the same owner owns both, right? I've never checked into that, but it's quite...
Well, it's a consortium. See, they don't individually own anything.
Right.
It's a collective because their very existence...
Right.
Is a hive mentality. It's a collective.
And a committee of 300 rules the roost. Of course, the Rothschilds sit on top of that. Okay? And then, and this is how Mikhail Bakunin says, and their arses sitting upon the German press. Okay? This was in the 1800s, the late 1800s, folks. Now, fast forward to today. Is it not exactly the same? Okay, he continues, they have grabbed hold of all newspapers, and you can imagine what a nauseating literature is the outcome of it. Does this guy know the Jews or what?
You can look at what they are doing to Europe with the invasion, the planned, structured invasion, and the seizure of power by them in the higher offices. And it's going to keep on. It's going to keep on. Well, they're doing it here, too.
Yes.
Until there's going to be one incident.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's
gonna, where the Anglo-Saxon is going to snap.
Mm-hmm.
And amen. When they snap, it's going to spread like wildfire, and it's going to be everywhere. And all these police forces seem so intimidating because you're a single individual, and you're scared of a big herd of police. Well, what if you have a herd of ticked off Anglo-Saxons that's three times the size of the police and well-armed as well?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the police are going to do? They're going to run screaming.
That's right.
Yeah. See, they're used to being the big bully on the block.
Yeah.
What happens when the big bully gets his nose busted? He doesn't mess with the guy that busted his nose again.
No, because he's not used to fighting.
Yeah. Victim. And when he finds out we're not going to be victims...
Right?
It's over.
He's not used to resistance. No. Right?
We just, you know.
Right. And so utilizing the United Nations, the Jews have promoted this big lie that nationalism is the cause of all wars. Now.
Well, their press and their press releases and their public statements are deceptive and designed to manipulate, and they have psychologically whipped the people.
That's right.
Not physically.
Psychologically, yes.
But when it gets physical, look out.
Yes.
That's all I can say.
Well, what did Henry Kissinger say?
When the fat lady decides to sing, it's over.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. The ride of the Valkyries. All right. There you go. There you go. Well, what did Henry Kissinger say? The American people will, after a while, after we have worked on them for long enough, they will be demanding that the United Nations come in and save them from what? A terrorist? Yeah, they invented terrorism so that they could save us from it. Okay. The Jews themselves have given us ample warning of their intentions. Quote, nationalism is a danger for the Jewish people. Well, what about the Israeli state? That's nationalism. Oh, that doesn't count because that's Jewish nationalism. Anyway.
Well, it's not a nation.
Yeah, well, not really, no. Yeah, it's not in the biblical sense because a nation is a race. You can't have a multicultural state, and the Jewish state is a multicultural state.
And the faction within the Jews, they fight among themselves.
That's true.
Ultra-Orthodox against the reform and there's sect within sects over there.
Right. That's about the only.
And whenever they get together, you get people with different types of hats.
Right.
And you can tell where they're from or what they are by their hat.
Right.
And they all group together, and one group is wearing a particular type of hat. Then you got another one on the other side of the room that doesn't associate with them that wears a different hat.
And their women have to walk on the other side of the street and sit in the back of the bus. I don't know why the feminists don't know that, even though most feminists are Jewish. Okay.
Well, that's why they don't live over there.
That's right. That's why they come here, and they prefer living here among white folk who don't force them to sit in the back of the bus, right? Okay. Nationalism is a danger for the Jewish people. Today, as in all epochs of history, it is proven that Jews cannot live in powerful states where a high national culture has developed, unquote. This was published in the Jewish Sentinel, Chicago, 9/24/36. So, since they can't live in a powerfully nationalist, non-Jewish state, what do, Pastor Steve? They create a multicultural state out of our nation so they can infest it so much better. Okay.
And they can't really breed among themselves because they're inbred anyway. So they have to seduce and dilute their bloodline. But as long as they have that little bit of satanic bloodline, it's a Jew because it's more powerful and it's going to come out.
Right. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Amen on that. And that means, so be it. It means to confirm or agree with.
Right, right.
And it has nothing to do with Amon Ra.
right. Nationalism is an infantile disease, says Albert Einstein. So he says the rest of we non-Jews are infantile if we believe in our own nationalism. So that's what he thought of our American Revolution, which was a Christian revolution, folks. There is nary a Jew who doesn't agree with these two statements that I just quoted. Okay?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
That's the way they are. So they come.
They won't say it to you.
No. They can't say it to your face, because they might get smacked in the nose. Right, but they'll act this way every day. Yeah, exactly. Okay, all right. Take number 85.
By their fruits you shall know.
Amen. Now,
they're the ones that are passing and supporting all these laws. They've changed their names so they don't sound like Jewish names.
Right.
But you scratch the surface and there's a Jew underneath.
Crypto Jew, smell a Jew. All right. Thesis number 85. Take it, please. Debauchery, your favorite subject.
Oh, no. Yeah. I know all about it because I'm so good at it.
Yeah, right.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, right.
It's easy to trace America's moral and cultural downfall to the era during which immigrant Jews from Tsarist Russia came to America, mainly from 1882 to 1920. Many of these Jews were virulent communists who hated the Tsar and Russia for their perceived maltreatment at the hands of Russian authorities. They brought the twin ideologies of communism and Zionism with them. This happened primarily in New York City. It was during this era that organized crime began to appear. Burlesque began, striptease was introduced, yellow journalism was invented, gambling halls, loan sharking, and bookie joints were started. All were originated, fashioned, created, and perfected by Jews or lowered to new depths by Jews. God's chosen.
Right.
The immediate effect that these newly arrived persecuted Jews had on New York City was its moral debasement. All of the vices for which the Russian people had hated and despised the Jews were imported from Russia's ghettos by these evil parasites. Between 1880 and 1920, 2 million unassimilable Jewish infidels, murderers, perverts, and thieves were brought to our shores. And these same Jews blessed America by establishing their unsavory rackets, organized crime, and their abominable so-called religion. During this era that the word kike was coined. Since most of these Jewish immigrants were illiterate, they could not sign the forms handed to them by the immigration officials at Ellis Island. These fanatical Jews refused to mark the form with an X because it resembled the Christian cross. So they made a K, which they called kike.
Right.
a kike, the apparent origin of the term for kikes.
And that's a term that upper-class Jews use to, you know, offend lower-class Jews. You know, they call them kikes because they couldn't even write their own name, right?
Right.
So that's a pejorative used by Jews against other Jews. You know, we didn't invent the word. The Jews invented this word. Okay? But now I have to add something here, Pastor Steve. In Russia, the Tsars were trying to their best to educate these Jews. And they invented the Pale to keep the Jews separate from the Russian peasants. Because the Jews were exploiting the Russian peasants by lending them money, by selling them alcohol, by doing all of these illegal activities that would ruin the lives of the peasantry. Okay, this is why the Tsars invented the Pale, to keep the Jews away from the Russian peasants. Okay, at the same time, they tried to educate these Jews to try to turn them into what? Well, good Russians, right? But
yeah.
You know, so how is it that these Jews remain illiterate despite all these efforts of the Tsars? Well, it's because the rabbis didn't want to lose their flock of goats to the, how should I put it? Because the Jews never assimilate. And whenever the Jews start assimilating, that's a problem for the rabbis because they start losing their flock that way. Okay? So instead of allowing their flock to be educated, they simply kept them ignorant, and then these ignorant Jews came to America. So that's why these Jews were so ignorant.
It is the Uber-Juden dominating the Unter-Juden.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So please continue.
All right, today, Jews are the foremost proponents of homosexuality, abortion, pornography, premarital sex, and any other form of legal debauchery. Through their debased forms of entertainment, the nuclear Christian family has all but dissolved under the constant unrelenting attacks, while the rabbis, true to their double standards, jealously protect the family values of Jews, even going so far as to argue against assimilation. These same Jews, however, go to great lengths to ridicule Christian values. No expense or effort is spared by Jewish movie producers, directors, and actors who have produced a steady stream of movies that mock Jesus Christ and Christianity. The list of Jewish involvement in morally subversive movements is endless. Of course, the Jews themselves consider these anti-biblical activities to be ethical in accordance with the teachings of the Talmud.
Mm-hmm.
Not even remotely biblical.
That's right. That's right.
The moral decline of America today is an exact replica of Marano, Spain, and the German Weimar Republic. Those two moral declines were also presided over by Jews who had infiltrated positions of leadership and authority in the host nations for their tribal agenda, which, simply put, is exploit and destroy. Bakunin knew what he was talking about when he said the Jewish press is a nauseating literature.
Don't we know that today? Just turn on your television.
Let's quote scripture. Mm-hmm. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's King James Version, the book of Jude 3 okay. and 4.
Okay, homosexuality, pedophilia, Pizzagate, exploitation of children.
Child sacrifice, selling body parts,
right.
Drinking blood.
Did any of this happen in America before the Jews arrived, Pastor Steve?
No.
No, it's pretty obvious where it comes from.
Up until a certain period, I mean, they had to get themselves established first, and then when they had a little money and a little power...
And took control of Hollywood.
Look out.
Yeah.
When they control the media and they control the money, it doesn't matter. You have all the churches out there you want, and you can preach and you can rail on. But they've got the churches so polluted that they're teaching that these Jews are God's chosen people.
The churches are just as bad as Hollywood.
The churches are shills.
Mm-hmm.
The international Jew.
Amen. Amen.
That's how it is.
Okay.
You're going to have to deal with it, folks.
Yeah, so you could trace America's moral decline directly to the importation or the immigration of all these Russian Jews, and not just Russian Jews, German Jews, wherever they come from, doesn't matter. They have the same religion, which is Talmudism. And they pretend, and then they invented...
And the same bloodline.
That's right. Yeah, they all have that Cain's blood in them. They all have that Cain blood in them. Okay, right. Let me jump to Thesis 86. Judeo-Christianity. The very expression Judeo-Christianity is a contradiction in terms. Since Judaism is the rejection of Jesus Christ, and this I wrote for newcomers to Christian identity, so they're not familiar with the term Yahshua Messiah. Since Christianity is based upon the proposition that Yahshua Messiah is the very Son of God, there can be no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. The idea is utterly preposterous. How did I pronounce that? Preposterous. And the Jews know it is. This is just another example of Jewish subterfuge designed to suck Christians into the Jewish matrix of deceit, or otherwise known as the Hegelian dialectic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, aren't them preposterouses over there in Africa with a big horn on their face?
Yeah, right.
I got attacked by a preposterous.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Regarding the term Judeo-Christian, Liz Reba, June 2001, quote, "The term Judeo-Christian was invented during World War II. When Christians started realizing how rude it was to rail against the Nazis for violating Christian decency, since so many of the Nazi victims were Jewish." I don't know, this is a Jewish statement, so it doesn't have to make sense. "It was a superficial attempt to appear diverse and inclusive." Now the Jews invented inclusiveness, and they invented diversity, and they invented equality. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Diverse, equal. Diverse, that doesn't make any sense, Pastor Steve. You're either diverse or equal. You can't be both at the same time.
Does it have to make sense?
Does it have to make sense?
It's Jewish. It doesn't have to make sense.
That's a good title for a show. Does it have to make sense? "Usually, when I see the term used, the author actually is only talking about Christianity, and thus denies the truly different nature of Judaism." In other words, that person is actually being honest, but he's still using Jewish terminology. "The term Judeo-Christian does not have a lengthy history." Now, white nationalists, pay attention. Judeo-Christianity is a Jewish invention. Don't be blaming all of the whole history of Christianity. Don't be blaming real Christians, such as us in Christian identity, of accepting Jewish lies. Okay? If you believe there's such a thing as Judeo-Christianity, you're believing a Jewish lie. There is no such thing. Okay, yeah. It was during the Hitler years that American philo-Semites invented the Judeo-Christian tradition to combat innocent or not-so-innocent language that spoke of a totalitarian assault on Christian civilization. Peter Novick, Holocaust in American Life. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, in other words, they invented the term Judeo-Christian during World War II because so many white Christians in America knew that communism was Jewish and were openly saying so, right? So that the Judeo-Christian term began being used in the Christian churches. so that we wouldn't be can't be polite talking about Jewish communists, because we're Judeo-Christians, don't you know? And even, a lot of people don't know this, Pastor Steve, that Billy Graham actually praised communism at several points in his career. Okay?
You were about to say Billy Frank.
Oh, did I?
It's a little piece of the fur. It slipped out.
Yeah, it slipped out because.
Oh, surely,
yes,
Eli.
Right.
That he was such a saint.
Yes.
Don't you know that?
Yes, he was.
I mean,
he was a Judeo-Christian. Right.
Just such a godly man.
Right.
Yeah. Depends on what God you're talking about.
Yeah. Right. So here's a bunch.
Hello.
Yes. And so included in this thesis, number 86, of course, this is available at www.anglo-saxonisrael.com. And just look for the 95 theses. And just a quick.
It's on the left hand side.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, or just type into the search box, just put 95. Actually, just type the letter 95, and this article will come up in the search box. All right, so a couple of more quotations here. I remember an amusing, annoying letter to the Boston Globe from someone that praised the Christian Coalition's devotion to, quote-unquote, Judeo-Christian values, and listed the organizations that embody those values. All 100% Christian groups, none remotely Jewish. Okay? So this word, Judeo-Christian, is used by Jews to brainwash Christians into believing that there is such a thing. There's not a Jew in the world who believes there is such a thing. Okay?
Right.
That's the way it is, folks. Okay? Quoting John Dominic Crossan, The Birth of Christianity, 1999, quote, "It is a mistake to believe that Christianity is the descendant of modern Judaism. Instead, it is much closer to the truth to state that from the matrix of ideas surrounding the end of the Second Temple era emerged two religions, Christianity and Rabbinical Judaism, both which claimed continuity from the original religion, which was not Judaism."
That's correct.
It's Mosaism, not Judaism.
That's correct.
Okay. "They are not parent and child. They are brothers." Actually, today they are. "As were Cain and Abel." This, again.
Oh! Boy, is that a telling statement.
Yeah.
Cain and Abel. What did Cain do to Abel?
Yep. Murdered him.
What do they want to do to us?
That's right. Exterminate us. That's right. Mm. All those good Judeo-Christian Jews. That right? Right?
Yeah, makes you want to go,
Right. Now, this statement by a rabbi. Now, I've been telling people, a lot of non-seedliners say that every statement a Jew makes is a lie. That's not true. Jews will make true statements in order to suck you into believing that the lie that's coming up. Okay? Quote, "Judaism is Judaism because it rejects Christianity. And Christianity is Christianity because it rejects Judaism," unquote. That's a statement by a rabbi. I mean, does it get any more true than that, Pastor Steve?
No, that's pretty much it.
But you never hear you never hear any rabbis quoting that publicly. Right? Because it might wake up a Christian or two. Okay, please take number 87. Oh, the psionym. Oh, man. This is something that most Christians know absolutely nothing about. So go ahead and tell us about it, Pastor Steve.
This is from an article summarizing a book by an ex-Mossad agent, Victor.
That's a typo. Victor.
Oh, yeah. Victor Ostrovsky, and revealing the facts as I know them from my vantage point of 4 years spent inside the Mossad, was by no means an easy task.
Yeah, it could get him killed.
Yeah, well, right? Coming from an ardent Zionist background, I had been taught that the state of Israel was incapable of misconduct.
And that's what your dad Christians believe. The Jews can't
they
do any wrong.
That.
Yeah. Jews can't do any wrong.
We
They're chosen.
We were the David in the unending struggle against the ever-growing Goliath. That there was no one out there to protect us but ourselves, a feeling reinforced by the Holocaust survivors who lived among us.
Oh, everything around the Holocaust. Can't get away from it.
Yep. That's their mantra.
Mm-hmm.
We, the new generation of Israelites,
Jews.
The resurrected, that's what he's, I'm quoting what he
right.
said.
Yeah,
he's
well, I'm correcting.
An Israelite. That's
I'm correcting
a lie.
Him. That's right.
There.
It's a lie. That's
right. So he's lying. The resurrected nation on its own land, not their land.
Right.
For more than 2,000 years of exile, were entrusted with the fate of the nation as a whole.
Yeah, so this is how
they're
he's...
They're not a nation.
Right, they're not. But this is how he is being brainwashed, and he's just explaining, this is how they brainwashed me. Please continue.
The commanders of our army were called champions, not generals. Our leaders were captains at the helm of a great ship. I was elated when I was chosen and granted the privilege to join what I consider to be the elite team of the Mossad. But it was the twisted ideals and self-centered pragmatism that I encountered inside the Mossad,
which
coupled
means,
with this so-called team's greed, lust, and total lack of respect for human life that motivated me to tell this story.
All right, what have we been telling people about the Jews, Pastor Steve? Here it's coming from a Jew's lips.
A Jew, yeah. The same way David Cole had to go into hiding when he showed.
Yeah.
All about Auschwitz, and he's Jewish.
That's right.
He says, this is not a gas chamber. This is a shower. Look where the shower heads and stuff were. And there's a screen door in here.
Yeah,
you
right.
look at the aerial photographs. During the war, there were no holes in the ceiling. They dropped the gas in. That was done after the war.
Right.
It didn't happen. There's very little Zyklon B standing on the walls.
None at all.
The shower room.
None at all in the shower area, yeah.
And boy, he had to go into hiding. I mean,
right.
they're still looking for him.
Now, there is Zyklon B residue in the walls of the delousing chambers.
Yeah.
Right? And even in...
But they're real short, just big enough that you can shove mattresses in there.
Right, right. So, it's all a big lie, but as we can see here, the Holocaust is the primary piece of propaganda by which they brainwashed an entire planet. And so, therefore, they resist mightily anyone's attempt to expose the lie, right? And they will kill you.
Well, here it says it.
Mm-hmm.
It is out of love for Israel as a free and just country that I am laying my life on the line by doing so, facing up to those who took it upon themselves to turn the Zionist dream into the present-day nightmare.
Mm-hmm. This is a Jew speaking. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Ran S., whoever that is, delivered a lecture on the Sionim, a unique and important part of the Mossad's operation. Sionim, that means assistance, must be 100% Jewish. They live abroad, and though they are not Israeli citizens, many are reached through their relatives in Israel. An Israeli with a relative in England, for example, might be asked to write a letter saying the person bearing the letter represents an organization whose main goal is to help save Jewish people in the diaspora. Could the British relative help in any way? There are thousands of Sionim around the world. In London alone,
spies is what they are. They're spying on us.
About 2,000 who are active, and another 5,000 on the list. they fulfill many different roles. A car Sayan, for example, running a rental agency, could help the Mossad rent a car without having to complete the usual documentation.
But Steve, they're God's chosen.
An apartment Zion would find an accommodation without raising suspicions. A bank Zion could get you money if you needed it in the middle of the night. A doctor Zion would treat a bullet wound without reporting it to the police. And so on. The idea is to have a pool of people available when needed, who can provide services but will keep quiet about them out of loyalty to the cause. They are paid only costs. Often the loyalty of Cyanum is abused by Katsas, whatever that is.
Katsahundas.
Take advantage of the available help for their own personal
use. Ooh, you mean a Jew would exploit another Jew? Oh, no, not possible.
There is no way for the Scion
to check this or know about it, right? So, I mean, what a telling statement here, Pastor Steve, that the Jewish community, you have to consider every Jew to be a spy.
Yep.
Or doing illegal activities on behalf. Now, what did Yeshua say? No man can serve two masters. You will either love the one and hate the other, or whatever. You're not, your loyalty will ultimately be demanded by the one you're serving. And this is the loyalty. The Jews serve the devil. And that's the bottom line. So, and then, I don't know if it was this guy or actually made a video that said he was a Sionum procurator for the Mossad. And he this was in England, and he said, 70% of the Jews turn us down when he's recruiting Cyanum, but he said none of them will turn us in.
That's what it says here.
Oh, is that okay? So this is the same guy. I just saw that video recently. Okay, so folks, this is what you're dealing with when you're dealing with Jews. You cannot trust a Jew. Because even if he doesn't want to do stuff like this, sometimes they will demand that he do this because he's the one doctor they need to pull that bullet out, right? Kind of like what happened to, the guy who set John Wilkes Booth's leg after he broke his leg, right? He couldn't be, that had to be done privately, okay? So they needed to have a loyal doctor to do that. Okay, so the Jews in our community are all like this, and if they aren't like this, they're expected to be like this when the time comes. So this is why I tell them, oh, you think you have a Jewish friend? They haven't turned on you yet. That's the kind of friend you have in a Jew. That's the only way you can approach it. Okay, plus we're not supposed to be, as you quoted earlier, we're not supposed to be having relationships with them anyway.
You know, that reminds me of that little thing that we have on EFR about the guy that's going to paint stuff, and he's doing this painting, and he said, I had a pet alligator once.
Right.
All that stuff. And he says, no matter what I did, he always bit me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yes, okay. All right, so very revealing stuff from this Mossad agent. Okay. Let me jump to thesis number 88. I like that number, 88. The Jews and Adolf Hitler. Most people do not realize that the Zionists and the Nazis had a secret agreement called the Transfer Agreement. And the book on that subject was written by a Chicago Jew who was persona non grata in the Jewish community for writing this book. Because all Jews believe that Zionism and Nazism are totally separate entities. Well, there was a point when the Zionists were actually paying the Nazis money to send Jews to Israel. Okay?
Yeah.
exploiting the little Jew, and if the little Jew didn't like it, didn't want to go to Israel, they were simply abandoned by the Zionists, right? This is how the Jews treat the Oberjuden, treat the Unterjuden, okay? According to this protocol, the Nazis received a monetary stipend for every Jew ejected from Germany for relocation in the yet-to-be-established Israeli state. You see, the Zionists needed Jewish bodies to replace Arab and Christian bodies in Palestine. Otherwise, Zionism would never succeed in creating the Israeli state. Make sense, Pastor Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's continue. This is from an internet article. There is even a certain amount of evidence to show that Hitler was financed by Jewish interests. In his book, I Paid Hitler. Now, to be clear here, you stated earlier, Pastor Steve, that the Jews will always finance both sides of every war. Okay.
All right.
That way they can manipulate the command structure of both sides. So when they have to, okay, we need to put an end to this war. Who's going to lose? Who's going to win? Which is in our best interest, that the Nazis lose or the communists lose? Okay. Obviously, in that case, it's more in their interest that the communists win and the Nazis lose. Okay, and that's how it worked out. Okay, because they had more at stake with communism than with Nazism. But they did.
Well, they invented it.
That's right. But they did also finance Hitler because they wanted a war between white nations. Okay?
Sure.
Okay. So, in his book, I Paid Hitler, Thiessen admitted that the Nazis themselves had been obliged to recognize the services rendered by the Jewish Simon Hirschland Bank in Essen, which had arranged Wall Street loans for Hitler through another Jewish bank in New York, Goldman Sachs.
Oh, oy, such a deal we've got for you.
Say it ain't so. Pastor
and,
Steve.
And Goldman Sachs is still there.
It's still there.
And they still got a deal. Such a deal.
And who knows?
Who knows
what they're financing today? They don't have to report what they're doing. No
porn.
Yes.
Child abduction.
That's right. Yeah. Sex trafficking. Kidnapping? Yeah. For a long time, no one dared lay hands on the Simon Hirschland Bank, despite pressure from the extremist element of the Nazi Party. So, okay.
Mr. Kim has got my comment about that little ad thing on it.
Okay.
He says, happy trees. Paint some happy trees over here.
Right.
Oh, I love it.
Right. Yeah, the happiest trees has nooses dangling from it, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
During the Nuremberg trials, Helmar Schacht requested that a Mr. Jeidels be called from America as a defense witness. Now, Helmar Schacht, not sure if he's Jewish or not, but he was Hitler's banker. And it was under Helmar Schacht that Hitler turned the German economy around and put everybody to work. Right? Hitler deserves credit for that. But it was Helmar Schacht was the banker, you know, for Hitler at that time, and he oversaw that system. According to a wartime edition of Time, Jeidels had been one of Schacht's closest cronies before the war. Hitler had even let Jeidels act as his deputy at the famous standstill agreement, which is not so famous because we're not supposed to know about it. But in 1942, he had become a partner in the Jewish Lazard Freres Bank in Manhattan. Now, Pastor Steve, why would all these Jewish banks invest in Nazi Germany? Why would they do that?
Because they were going to get a chance to loot it when they...
That's right. They always loot the loser. Okay? But still had access to choice continental pipelines into Hitlerism. Now, one more, but probably the most bizarre liaison between Hitlerism and Zionism was in Austria and Hungary, where prominent Jewish leaders actively cooperated with the Nazis in registering Jewish population and keeping order in the ghettos in return for allowing the emigration to Palestine of thousands of young Jewish pioneers, or should they be called prisoners of the ghetto.
They wanted to go establish, and they had to have young fighters over there.
Right. So, in other words, you know, because we all watch the movies of Jewish people in the ghettos of Poland and other countries, and the evil Nazis coming and, you know, making war against them in these ghettos. Well, who arranged for those Jews to be in those ghettos, Pastor Steve?
The Jews. They wanted to live separate. They didn't want to live with the Christians.
That's right. That's right. So,
and ghetto was a Jewish term.
Right. And so what? Basically what he's saying here is that the Zionists cooperated with the Nazis to make life miserable for Jews so that they would go to Palestine.
Yeah.
Okay? Say it ain't so, Pastor Steve. All right?
Yeah, well, like the word ghetto. Remember the song that Elvis Presley
Right.
in the ghetto?
Right? Yeah, the Jewish ghetto.
He was another... Well,
yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you become famous, you have to sell your soul for rock and roll. The Nazis even agreed to set up agricultural schools for the would-be emigrants in Austria. I mean, come on now. Teaching
they can't
Jews
grow anything.
I know.
You're kidding me.
But Hitler didn't know that, right? This entire affair is described in rhapsodical terms in The Secret Roads by John and David Kimchi, two prominent British Zionists. They describe how two young Jewish settlers made their way back to Berlin and Vienna in 1938 in order to put the plan to the Gestapo. Adolf Eichmann readily agreed to the scheme. Adolf Eichmann is a Jew, folks. And even expelled a group of nuns from a convent to provide a training farm for young Jewish emigres. Well, because why? Well, they had all these Palestinians doing the farming, but they exterminated them. So they had to teach these Jews how to grow crops, and they never succeeded. They still use Palestinians to this day. Okay? But that was the plan. So
they have to import most of their food.
That's right.
The land has been blasted by Yahweh.
Yes.
And nothing will grow there.
Yes.
There's no water.
Yes. Yes. Eichmann himself admitted to being a staunch Zionist ever since he had studied Herzl's classic, The Jewish State. As part of his SS training, Eichmann attended in civilian clothes the commemoration ceremony of the 35th anniversary of Herzl's death. And in 1939, he protested against the desecration of Herzl's grave in Vienna. Now, was Eichmann a Nazi or a Zionist? You tell me, Pastor Steve.
Both.
Both. He was both. So, why is this type of information suppressed? Well, because you must believe that the Jews are God's chosen people, and they would never cooperate with an enemy state, and would never exploit their own people to force them to go to a country they don't want to go to.
Wasn't Eichmann the one that was supposed to be an exterminator?
He killed
a whole bunch of people, and they tried him.
Yeah, they tried him
as a Nazi. At the Nuremberg trials, and he was a Jew.
Yeah, he was a Jew. Most people don't know he was a Jew. All right, you take thesis number 89, please.
Okay, let me get down to it. I was reading what you had here.
Yeah, that's...
The myth of a good rabbi. Hey, I'm so good. I'm good for what? all rabbis study Talmud. The Talmud is objective, verifiable proof of rabbinical tampering with and distortion of God's written law. Therefore, all rabbis are certified, degreed, PMDs, professional master deceivers. The rabbinate is the world's oldest professional liars club, and they use their stolen authority and false piety to fool billions. Clueless vipers. The Jewish double standard allows rabbis and all Jews to deceive non-Jews without incurring punishment. The Jew who thinks that these professional liars don't deceive their fellow Jews is a fool. Sure they do.
Mm-hmm.
The only way rabbis can be considered good is if you give them credit for being good liars. one can almost hear the Jew has completely absorbed the persecution myth from the mouth of his rabbis. Why dost the world hate us so much?
Right. That was well done, Pastor Steve.
Yeah. Good accent. The reason is that even tame vipers lack charm.
They're still snakes.
And cannot be trusted. Remember that story about the snake when
yep.
he bit the girl?
Mm-hmm. Okay, the snake right
are you
across
complaining?
The
room. You know that I'm a snake.
Right.
So, their bite is still poisonous. The lies of the rabbis create righteous fools who don't know any better. They have been professionally apprenticed and trained to lash out when given the signal against their perceived enemies.
Hiram Ab.
That's yeah. what's going on today.
That's right.
This is what happened in Soviet Russia. Jesus told us that these proselytes are twice the children of hell than the rabbis themselves. They are what they have been trained to be, serpents who bite at the heels of their unsuspecting victims. And you quote Genesis
3:16.
These true believers of rabbinical lies are the playthings of the rabbis who exploit them for all they are worth.
Yeah. They worship their manipulators. Okay.
Yeah.
But they believe this persecution myth by which they hate us. Right? They're trained yeah. to hate us. But it's all one big lie. There's not a word of truth in it. And so the average Jew doesn't even realize that it is being manipulated like a chess piece in a chess game. And that they are expendable. They don't realize that. Okay? This is the true nature of Judaism, folks. Okay, thesis number 90, the Jewish question. Without interruption, history has also had to deal with the so-called Jewish question. For us, we have to ask, what is it about the Jewish people that makes them the object of such hatred and scorn? The Jews say it's envy. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Steve, have you ever envied a Jew?
No, not particularly.
No. No, even if I see a rich Jew, there's no way I want to be one of them.
Well, you know in your heart how you got that money.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah, yeah, Doc just walked in. All right. Karl Marx, in a fit of honesty, or actually, let me put it this way. Karl Marx made a number of statements condemning Judaism. All right. To me, the only reason he did this was to posture against his...
Yep, it was a deception.
Yeah, it's posturing, okay. On the Jewish question, a work also known as A World Without Jews, quote, what is the object of the Jews' worship in this world? Usury. Now, this is a true statement, right? What is his worldly god? Money. This is very anti-Semitic of Karl Marx to say, Pastor Steve. What
Jewish?
Yeah, right. What is the foundation of the Jew in this world? Practical necessity, private advantage. The bill of exchange is the Jew's real god. His god is the illusory bill of exchange. Money is the one zealous god of Israel, speaking of Jews, of course, beside which no other god may stand. Money degrades all the gods of mankind and turns them into commodities. Money is the universal and self-constituted value set upon all things. Everything's for sale, Pastor Steve, including
really?
Women and children.
Yep.
Right? I mean, this is a true statement, although I believe he's making the statement to posture. So, because the outside world, the non-Jewish world, has to believe that the Jews fight among themselves, which they do. But they always go through this routine of pretending to be enemies in order to present this this fake face to us that they're not unified. Well, when it comes to us, they are unified. They're unified against us.
Oh, yeah.
Period. Okay? It has that. Yeah, that is this Jewish God has therefore robbed the whole world of both nature and man of its original value. Money is the essence of a man's life and work, which have become alienated from him. This alien monster rules him, and he worships it. Now, of course, Karl Marx, as a communist, had to distance himself, at least verbally, from the Rothschilds. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what he had to do. So this is nothing more than posturing by Karl Marx, even though the statement he makes here is true.
I'm just wondering, you know, they have communism, then they have capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if the whole thing wasn't orchestrated to bring all these conflicts about so they can gut and loot and murder and kill the Goyim.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like the Republican Party and the Democratic Party.
Right.
They're two arms of the same thing. The same thing.
So Goy communists will trust Karl Marx when he states that he's opposed to the Jewish mentality of money, okay, because he said so, right? But can they trust Karl Marx? Of course. Cool. Of course not. Yeah. A few quotations here. Voltaire, why are the Jews hated? It is the inevitable result of their laws. They either have to conquer everybody or be hated by the whole human race. Metternich, in Germany, the Jews occupy the principal riles, that is, dregs of society, and are first-rate revolutionaries. They are writers, philosophers, poets, orators, publicists, bankers, and on their heads and in their hearts all the weight of ancient ignominy. They will one day be terrible for Germany, probably followed by a morrow terrible for them. Wow.
That's 1849.
Let me repeat this last statement, folks.
Boy, is he ever a prophet.
Well, right. They will one day be terrible for Germany. That would happen in World War I, folks. Probably followed by a morrow terrible for them. And that day is soon upon them, folks. The tares are going to burn. H.L. Mencken. The Jews could be put down very plausibly as the most unpleasant race ever heard of. As commonly encountered, they lack any of the qualities that mark the civilized man. Courage, dignity, incorruptibility, ease, confidence. They have vanity without pride, voluptuousness without taste, and learning without wisdom. Their fortitude, such as it is wasted upon puerile objects, and their charity is mainly a form of display. You think Mencken understood the Jews?
I think he did.
Why does nobody know about H.L. Mencken anymore? Okay.
Who has all the publishing
house? That's right. All right. Theodor Herzl. The Jewish question still exists. It would be useless to deny it. The Jewish question exists wherever Jews live in perceptible numbers. Where it does not exist, it is carried by Jews in the course of their migrations. That's why they get thrown out of countries. We naturally move to those places where we are not persecuted, and there our presence produces persecution. What? I mean,
Oh, man, listen to this. The unfortunate Jews are now carrying anti-Semitism into England. They have already introduced it into America.
Right?
Oh, and then we got our hero, Henry Ford.
Oh, yeah,
he
was
aware. He was aware.
Yeah, you want to read that one, Henry Ford?
I can, yeah. This is from Henry Ford. Well, the percentage of the Jewish population of Russia is just 1% more than it is in the United States. The majority of the Jews themselves are not less well-behaved in Russia than they are here. They lived under restrictions which do not exist here. Yet in Russia, their genius has enabled them to attain a degree of power which has completely baffled the Russian mind. Whether you go to Romania, Russia, Austria, or Germany, or anywhere else that the Jewish question has come to the forefront as a vital issue, you will discover that the principal cause is the outworking of the Jewish genius to achieve the power of control. That's from the International Jew.
So you have to understand the Jewish mind is always figuring out a way to take control of the host nation. It's a parasitic race. That's basically
control.
That's basically what Henry Ford is saying, and it's absolutely right on the money. Marcus Tullius Cicero. The Jews belong to a dark and repulsive force. One knows not how numerous the clique is, how they stick together, and what power they exercise through their unions. They are a nation of rascals and deceivers. Okay. Oh, here, take Dietrich Eckart on Schopenhauer's relationship to the Jews, because we're getting close to the end, folks, so we'll just alternate on these. Okay,
and
go ahead.
I read quickly. Every time new and promising opportunities for meddling have arisen, he brought out, the Jew has been immediately involved. He has demonstrated an uncanny ability to sniff out, like a bloodhound, anything which was dangerous to him. Having found it, he uses all his cunning to get at it, to divert it, to change its nature, or at least to deflect its point from its goal. Schopenhauer called the Jew the dregs of mankind, a beast, the great master of the lie. How does the Jew respond? He establishes a Schopenhauer society.
Okay.
Bolshevism.
Right.
From Moshe to Lenin.
Okay.
That's the book.
Dietrich Eckart. Okay. Yeah. So what do the Jews do? If we establish a nationalist party, they establish another nationalist party to put the real one out of business.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, and they offer free coffee and donuts.
Yes, right.
And we're coming down the end of the time here.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
But
yes.
3 minutes. Just
yeah,
a little
yeah.
over 3 minutes.
Yeah, let me jump to Martin Luther. It will not do for them to say at this point, we Jews care nothing about the New Testament or about the belief of Christians, or we will have to resort to other measures. These incorrigible rascals know very well that the New Testament deals with our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, for it is incumbent on all to know God's book. He did not reveal it to have it ignored or rejected. He wants it to be known, and he excuses no one from this. The king would be obliged to take these people by the nape of the neck and throw them into a dungeon and entrust them to Master Hans, who would teach them to say, quote, we are willing to acknowledge it, unquote. Well, the Jews will never say that. And the Murano experience proves if they do say that, they say it with their fingers crossed behind their back. The alternative would be to keep them incarcerated forever, lest they contaminate with their refractory attitude others who would want to learn it. Well, what did we talk about earlier? Judeo-Christianity.
All right.
They invented that to deceive Christians and lead them away from Christ, which is what they have succeeded in doing, folks. And then to quote our Lord and Savior, Yahshua, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. All right, they're trying to keep us out. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Can you see the rabbis at the Wailing Wall, davening their heads?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make a proselyte, for money that is, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves, unquote. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to Bloodlines today. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Yep. Shalom aleichem.
Shalom.
Are we good?